Blog Talk Radio.
It's Tuesday night, and you know what that means. Flat Track Weekly Radio is here, bringing you up-to-date news and insight you won't find anywhere else on the planet. Hosted by Grand National racer Corey Texter and AMA Pro announcer Scotty Dubler, this show is guaranteed to pack some speed. So sit back and hold on tight. Flat Track Weekly Radio is on, and now here's C-Tex and Hollywood.
Good evening, everybody. It's Corey Texter here, as always, co-hosting the Flat Track Weekly Radio Show, your Tuesday night extravaganza, with my partner, Scotty Hollywood Dubler. Scotty, what is up?
Hey, man, not much. It's good to see your pretty face on Skype and get our radio show kicked off and have some fun tonight. We've got two awesome guests. You lined them up, Clayton Shambaugh, the tuner for Babe DeMay's team, and also Ronnie Jones, the new senior director of AMA Pro Flat Track, is going to be on a little bit later on. So I'm really excited about both of our guests. Actually, I grew up idolizing Ronnie Jones, you know, most of my younger career, and he's actually got me quite a few breaks in my life. So it's good to catch up with him. And then Clayton Shambaugh, I haven't really talked to him very much, but you've gotten to know him a little bit better these last couple of weeks. And so we'll have some insight on the new Yamaha FC07.
Yeah, excited about the show would be an understatement. It's always good to have guys of this caliber on the radio show. Ronnie Jones, as you announced, was the named the current. He was named the senior director of AMA Pro Flat Track a couple months ago. He got his first taste of action without the riding gear and wearing the AMA professional suit down in Daytona. You know, he was down there putting in the work, doing what he can to make the series grow, and I think he's doing a great job, man. So far, I'm pleased with what I've seen from Ronnie, and I expect good things coming from him and the whole crew down in AMA, you know, pro racing down in Daytona. I really think they're stepping up their game, and like I said, I think last week, it gives you a series to take pride in. You know, I'm really proud to be a part of the series and be racing in it, so it's good to have him on the show. We're going to ask him a few questions about his transition from racing on the dirt to managing the dirt, so to speak. So we'll have him on, and Clayton Shambaugh as well. Clayton's been working with the Babe DeMay race team for, I don't know, almost a decade. He's worked with, you know, riders like Sammy Haubert, J.R. Schnabel, Kevin Varnes, Jake Shoemaker, Briar Bauman, to name a few more, and most currently myself down in Daytona. Got to ride for their team, and we're going to talk with him about his career a little bit, working on the bike, and then also about the FZ07 Yamaha that we just debuted. So I think it'll be good, Scotty, to get him on and have some insight from him as well.
Yeah, is there any other breaking news that you've heard this week? Anything new and fresh off the press that we can talk about on the radio show, or nothing yet?
I don't know, man. Everything kind of slows up after Daytona. It seems like all the big news happens up until Daytona, and then it slows up a little bit. So I know Shana's going to announce kind of her plans for this year here in the next couple of days, hopefully. I know I've been saying that forever, but finally starting to figure things out here with her. So her full team and deal should be announced here soon. But other than that, Scotty, I haven't heard much, to be honest. What about you? Have you heard anything new?
No new rumors. I mean, I just nothing is really new. I know a lot of people are still out there looking for rides. I don't know. Have you signed a deal with Babe DeMay yet, or are you still working on that, or can we talk to Clayton about that, or is that above his pay grade?
No, I've actually talked with Babe a few times this week, actually. We're working to put something together, and it looks like I am going to be riding the bikes. We're just trying to work out the details and all that stuff, trying to figure out sponsors and everything, but Babe is working on building another bike. We should have that bike done here in the next month or so, definitely before Springfield. So working on that, and yeah, it looks like I'm going to be riding the bikes, but it's not completely set in stone yet, but it's looking that way. So just going to wrap a few things up here, just make sure I'm ready mentally and physically, and make sure Clayton and everyone else is on board and move forward with it. I think, you know, what we have is a great team. It's a championship caliber team. You know, I've never been able to say that in my career, but I think we're really close to being on the verge of maybe turning some heads, Scotty. I thought we turned some heads down down there in Savannah. I know my results don't show how well I felt on the motorcycle, but I think we're close to turning some heads, and it'd be great to do it with them guys. So that's my hope.
That would be certainly awesome to see. I think you deserve a really good ride out there, and I thought you had a pretty strong horse last year, and things just didn't work out for you. So maybe you get a chance on that blue Yamaha that sure looked good. I didn't get to see you ride the twin down there in Florida. I got in there late, but heard good things about it for sure. You heard about any other good racing coming up? I know there's a couple coming up at the first weekend of May. Have you heard anything else?
Yeah, actually, there's the local races around here in District 6 are starting up. Trailway Speedway is this weekend. It's one of my favorite racetracks. It's here in Pennsylvania. This Sunday is the season opener. I don't think I'm going to take part in it, though, Scotty. It's kind of a toss-up for me. Just the weather around here is still so crappy. I feel like the dirt isn't quite ready to be raced on. Safe, 100% safe, you know, safe enough on. And a lot of guys have gotten hurt at the season openers around here when they start in March, and I've broken my arm. There's some other injuries and stuff like that. And the payout for a Trailway is not very good. I hate to say it, you know, but it is what it is, man. We need to get paid if they want me to come out there and race and, you know, and do that. So I don't think I'm going to take place in it, but I have saw some other riders, Jake Shoemaker, Mike Poe, some other, you know, local fast guys from around here should be there. So I know that's coming up. Then we have Pass Valley, another district race coming up the weekend after that. And, yeah, we're starting to get rolling here. I think there's a race in DeCoin, too, a Steve Nace race. I'm not sure when it is. I think it might be this weekend or the following weekend. I think they have one more indoor out there that I heard about. But otherwise, I don't really have much on my radar as far as racing goes, at least etched in the stone, except for Springfield Mile. You know, I'm gonna do a few the mini GP road races. I have a 12-hour endurance that I'm gonna do in the end of April there, and gonna keep training on my bicycle and do some duathlon events. I have a Warrior Dash coming up in May, but the only thing etched in stone for me, Scotty, is Springfield for sure. But I'll probably do a couple one-off races before then, but just not sure of which ones.
Man, that, you know, it's hard for me to sit here and be excited about Springfield. You know, I'm just chomping at the bit. I can't imagine riding and being, you know, having to wait. It's 60 days. It's actually 2 months from right now. It's May 24th is when we go to the Springfield Mile. You are correct. The Steve Nace race is this weekend. It's called the Winter Jam Showdown at the Center. It's the motorcycles and ATV short track and TT. Friday night practice is from 6 to 9. March 28th is the short track and TT. Gates open at 9 a.m. Sunday, March 29th, is the short track and TT. Gates open at 8 a.m. So it's going to be, you know, a couple of long days, but a lot of racing going on. So if you want to catch one more indoor before the winter's over, stevenaceracing.com is the website. Also coming up in May 2nd, is the Ohio Valley Classic in Lebanon, Ohio. And then May 3rd, if you want to make a drive, I think it's about 5 hours and 20 minutes, according to Chu and Mia, to Henry, Illinois, for District 17 and Vintage National Half Mile. I went there last year, And Henry, with the people from Henry, the mayor, was walking around shaking people's hands. People came from all over the country just to race at that track. I had never been there before. I guess they raced there before my time. And it was cool to be a part of it last year. I know it was pretty chilly up there in the announcer's tower, but they said down there on the ground and down the pit area was completely full, so it wasn't that cold. So that's a couple of races I know that's coming up pretty soon. And I'm just, you know, I'm ready to get back to the racetrack. I got this weekend off, and then I head to Colorado to do some work. And then I've got Monster Trucks, my last Monster Truck show, the winter next weekend in Loveland, Colorado. So I'm just excited to get back to some more motorcycle racing, actually.
Yeah, that sounds great, actually. Some of those half-mile races, I remember hearing about them last year. It'd be good to go out there and get some testing on the Yamaha Twin a little bit more. And, just go out and ride the bike. So we'll have to see what happens from now until Springfield. But I definitely wouldn't mind running on a half-mile. They're my favorite kind of racetracks, the Christian half-miles. I really enjoy those, Scotty, as you know. But, a lot of great stuff coming up here soon. The season is underway. You know, we're getting it rolling. As always, hit us up on Twitter if you have any questions for us or for any of our guests, at Corey Texter, at Scotty Dubler. Any questions, just shoot us a tweet. You can find us on Instagram, too. Sky's been hitting it up pretty hard at Flat Track Weekly Radio, so that's been going well.
I think we lost Corey. I think he's trying to call back in. I'm not sure if I'm even still live right now. Hopefully Corey will get back on. I don't know what happened to him, but, yeah, he's talking about the Flat Track Weekly Radio Instagram. Puts pictures up every day. Ronnie Jones was on there earlier today. Then I put Sammy Halbert on there a couple of days ago on the Babe de May Yamaha. Somebody asked me what year it was. I'm not sure what year that was when Sammy was on that Yamaha, but I know he was national number 43 from 2006 to 2010. So I do know that. I think Corey's having some technical difficulties. He's trying to get back on here with us right now, but hopefully he'll join us. We do get to have Ronnie Jones up a little bit. Clayton Shambaugh will be our first guest, and he'll be coming up in just a couple of minutes. I think Corey back with us?
Oh, yeah, man. I just I didn't feel like talking anymore, so I thought I'd hang up for a little bit.
taking a short break, huh?
Yeah. No, I got bored, though, so I thought I'd call back in and keep the show rolling. But, no, yeah, just as I was talking about the Instagram, I said we had over 1,300 followers, so definitely growing. You've been doing a good job with that, so make sure you hit us up on the gram and Facebook, too. We're on Facebook, so hit us up, definitely. I missed what you said, Scotty. I don't know if you thanked any of the sponsors, but I'm going to roll into that. I want to thank Tommy Duma Fine Jewelers. They've been with us for the longest now, and Tommy Duma's been doing a great job for us and for the sport in general. He helps out some riders, and he just does an overall great job with the sport. So I want to thank him, PDFJ.com. Also, shout out to another sponsor of mine, personal sponsor of mine, Evans Coolant. They have the best coolant on the market. If you haven't heard about it, make sure you check them out, EvansCoolant.com. Great, great products, an essential, I feel, to running up front at this level. And also to Light Shoe, Gary Kinsler. Those guys do an amazing job. They're at all the racetracks. They build hot shoes right at the racetrack. You know, if you need something done, repaired, hit them up, lightshoe.com, Scotty. So, yeah, great show on the books here. We got a couple more minutes here until our first guest calls in.
Well, yeah, what I was talking about while you were taking your nap or whatever you were doing over there, I don't know if you fell asleep on us or what happened, but I was talking about number 43. I put up Sammy Halbert when he had the number 43, and somebody hit us up and asked what year it was, and I think it was, he had that number for about 5 years, so I'm not sure what year it was. Do you happen to remember when he was riding for Babe de May on that Yamaha?
Yeah, I was going to say, it looked like he was on the Babe de May Memphis Shades Yamaha 450 framer, and I would say that was 2007. I don't know if he rode for him for two seasons or not, but it was either 2007. He definitely rode the bike in 2007. That was my expert twins year, my basic expert year. I know that for certain. Yeah, I think it was 2007, and he might have rode for him in 2008 too as well, Scotty. I'm not positive. I know in 2006, Sammy rode for White's Harley Davidson with Mike Varnes because I did some traveling with them my pro sport year. So yeah, I would say 2007, but it could be 2008. So that sounds what I think.
Sounds good. He did have that national number 43, like I said, for 5 years. I only had it for 2 years, I believe, before me was Joe Kopp. So it was kind of cool out in Prescott, Arizona. We had all three of us were on the podium that day for whatever I think I was doing the podium interviews, and Joe won on the Ducati, and Sammy got second. So all three former National 43s were on the podium. That was a pretty cool day for me.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool day. Anytime you get Sammy and Joe on the podium together, I mean,
yeah.
It's pretty odd to see them anywhere near each other. There's definitely some rivalries in the sport. You know, it's no secret. You have Jared and Sammy, and Henry and Sammy, and Sammy and Joe Kopp is definitely one of the bigger ones that I know about. And yeah, that's anytime you get those two on the podium together, there's probably some lackage of smiling going on, but that's pretty cool, Scotty.
Well, I tried to stay in between them because I knew that they weren't too fond of each other. And it was kind of weird because they both had national number 43 and they're both in the state of Washington. And then you find out they don't like each other. They just kind of, like you said, they're rivals. So I just try to stay in between them, and I just try to get along with everybody.
Yeah, like I said before, you know, many times on the show, having a rival is a good thing. I don't necessarily have a rival myself that I despise. There's a few guys I dislike, but I try and most of the time stay positive and get along with everybody too. It just makes it for easier racing when you don't have to constantly look over your shoulder every time to make sure someone's going to T-bone you or not. So it makes it easier for me, I feel, as a racer, just to kind of be cool with everybody. But I mean, if I get hit on the track, I'm going to hit you back. I'm not going to take anyone's crap. So I think I've proved that in Daytona a little bit, but you know, it is what it is. It's racing, and sometimes tempers get flared. So that's the way it goes in this sport. But we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, our first guest is on the line, Clayton Shambaugh. We'll be right back.
Tom Duma Fine Jewelers, the official jeweler of the AMA Grand National Flat Track Series and proud sponsor of the Flat Track Weekly Radio Show. What does flat track and jewelry have in common? Tommy Duma, former GNC National number 26 and 62.
This is Tommy Duma, and I want to personally take care of all your jewelry needs. My team and I will custom design and handcraft any type of racing jewelry, from custom number plates to steel shoe pendants and any precious metal. You can even send us your favorite photo, and we'll recreate it as a stunning pendant or ring of your choice. Besides custom racing jewelry, Tom Duma Fine Jewelers is home to the nation's top designers like David Yurman and Rolex. We offer the best names in engagement ring designers like Tacori, Verragio, Michael M., Danoff, Simon G., A. Jaffe, and many more. With direct connections to one of the world's largest Israeli diamond cutters, I can guarantee that TDFJ diamonds will have more sparkle. This also means that our diamond prices are as competitive as any brick-and-mortar jewelry store or anything that you can find on the internet. Helping past and current GNC racers with their jewelry needs since 1982. I look forward to becoming your trusted jeweler as well. Tom Duma Fine Jewelers, the official jeweler of the AMA Grand National Flat Track Series and proud sponsor of the Flat Track Weekly Radio Show. Check us out at TDFJ.com.
We are back Tuesday night, Flat Track Weekly Radio. Our first guest is on the line. He's been a longtime tuner with Babe DeMay, with the Babe DeMay race team. As I mentioned before, he's worked with a lot of great riders such as Halbert, Schnabel, Varnes. The list goes on and on. We'll bring him on right now. Clayton Shambaugh, how are you?
Wonderful. Thanks. How are you guys tonight?
Oh, we're doing well, man. Thanks for coming on the show. It's always good to get a tuner of your caliber on the show to talk with our fans a little bit about your background in the sport and how you got involved. So let's get right into it. How did you get involved in the sport of flat track racing, and how did you get hooked up with Babe DeMay?
Well, it all kind of stems together. I worked for Tim and Debbie Kozar Davison back in 99, and Babe was the crew chief running the race team at that time. After hours, Babe kind of snuck me in the back door. And we started working on bikes. 2006, Babe gave me a call. I said, hey, let's go racing. And I said, sure, let's do it.
Hooked up with him, did you have a motorcycle background? How'd you get hooked up on the backside with Babe?
Basically, I was a service wrench at the Harley dealership at the time. Johnny was riding for the team, Johnny Murphy, and we became roommates at the time also, and yeah, like I said, it's just kind of unfolded from there.
Well, you've worked a lot of talented riders. You worked with Murphy and Schnabel, like I've mentioned, and Halbert. Who were some of the guys that you enjoyed working with the most, and who do you think had the most talent out of all the guys you have worked with over the years?
Boy, that's a rough one to really put a head on, because you know each one of them has their own their talent, where they shine. JR was just kind of an animal. Sammy's basically the same person. A lot of them are a lot more calmer, a lot more aggressive. So it's kind of a toss up, really. Who's the best, I guess.
Clayton, what is your normal race day consist of? I mean, are you, like, hands-on? Do you do everything on the bike? I know Babe's there, too, and I know he likes to get his hands dirty and be a big part of it. So do you take care of all the wrenching, or what are your duties and what do your duties include?
Basically, the racetrack duties are unload, set up. I do all the wrenching on the bike. When the racer comes off the track, Babe and I and the racer, we all sit down, have a meeting of the minds, and come up with a plan for the next step forward. And that's our race day.
Well, a lot of fans have been asking me about the new FZ07 Yamaha. Now, I thought it'd be best to come from you. You know, you put a lot of time into building that motorcycle down at the shop with Babe, and it came together pretty fast. You know, the bike was released, I think, stateside last June. You know, is when they brought the bike over here to America, and you guys already have the bike, you know, complete, motor in the frame, and it's been raced already. I got to race it down in Florida and Georgia there, and a lot of fans have been asking what it all took to put that bike together and how that whole project came along.
You know, really, at this point in time, because, you know, Corey, a lot of the frames haven't really been made. We, you know, along with Babe, we built a frame for the thing, just to get a working platform and get some track time with it. Everything has been handcrafted on that motorcycle through Babe's race team. So, you know, it's been quite a bit, but, you know, Yamaha blessed us with a beautiful platform to start with, and it's came together rather easy so far. So,
Clayton, right now you guys just have the one bike. Is the plan for later on to have a backup motorcycle, or what's the plan going forward?
Yeah, at the point in time, we just do have the one motorcycle that we've built. At this time, we're waiting on some of the other frame guys to get their frames put together so that we can help start testing and developing other manufacturers. Like I said, we just needed one to basically get some track time just to see what the engine's really going to do.
Well, after seeing the bike run at Savannah and Volusia, were you guys satisfied overall with where you're at right now? I mean, it was the first race on the bike, and as I mentioned before, we had a few hiccups there that, you know, it's just expected with any new motorcycle coming onto the scene. But are you satisfied with where the bike is right now, and how long do you think it'll take before the bike is out there competing and winning races against the Cali and the Harley?
Really satisfied with the motorcycle. Just right out of the box, not have even you know, rented a track to test it, just taking it to a track and putting it to the true test of racing. The bike's, like I said, it's turned out beautiful. Yamaha provided us with a great platform. To be competitive with the Kawasaki's, I don't fear that it'll be too long that we'll be right there in the mix with them. It's just a matter of getting some of the components put together that the Kawasaki's had multiple years to design and develop. So I don't think it'll be too far.
Clayton, what have you done to the motorcycle since you got back from the testing at Savannah and down there at Barberville in Florida? I heard the only issue I heard that you guys were really having was battery issues. And my dad was joking around with Dave DeMay, and I think with you putting solar panels on the gas tank, and you'd be really fast during the day and having a solar battery. But seriously, what have you done since you got back?
At this point in time, we're working towards the engine development this time. The components are just now starting to trickle in for the performance end of it. We've gotten the heads up to flowing pretty decent. I know there's pistons being made. Cams are in the works. Ignitions are in the works. As far as the little hiccup we had at Daytona, that was a little battery issue we're running since we're doing a constant loss system. But we're also running a lot of components right now with our ignition. Once we can lighten the load a little bit, I think we shouldn't have any issues there.
Savannah's a very fast racetrack, Scotty. It's it's one of the fastest half miles we run all year, and we're going 100 plus mile an hour on the straightaways. It's pretty cool. The bike right now has a speedo on it, and it tells you what gear you're in, how high you're revving it. And I looked down on the speedo once on the back straightaway, and it read 103 mile an hour. So it was pretty cool. I never had that. You know, if you don't know what gear you're in, there's no excuse. You can look down on the speedo and it tells you what gear you're running in. So I think that was pretty cool. And a lot of fans don't realize it, that the motorcycle that we race down there is basically bone stock, you know, minus an exhaust air filter, Canon air filter, and the tuner we have on it. It's basically a bone stock bike, and to be that competitive on it right away, it was definitely eye opening. You know, like I said before, it was really cool to be on something like that. But Clayton, you've done a lot with the Yamaha. I know you've also worked with the XR750 and the Yamaha Vision, and you work with the 450s as well. What is your favorite motorcycle to work on back there in the shop?
I'm all about the development of it. So, the Vision was a great project. The Harley, because we tried some newer stuff with ignitions. The 450s have been a great project because, Yamaha with their new backwards motor of making that thing handle for a dirt tracker when it's not as a conventional motorcycle design. All of it's been a good challenge, so I can't really say that any of it is. I just have to say that everything that we've got to experience has been great.
Clayton, did you ever try racing flat track yourself, or you just always been a tuner?
I did. I tried Ducoin once, and I can't get my head around not having a front brake. I've done quite a bit. I've tried some track days, road racing, motocross, supermoto, all that. And, I got to give a hands down ovation to all the flat track riders for what they do. It's truly a unique sport and discipline.
Well, you also did Circleville half mile. Yeah, he took his motocross bike out there, Scotty, full suspension, threw on some tires and was bumping the cush on a half mile. It was that was a couple years ago. That was pretty cool too.
Yeah, that was a good time.
Yeah, well, like I was talking with Scotty before, the sport is definitely, it seems like it's kind of coming around a little bit. It's starting to grow, and there's a lot of positive things in the works. And you've been with, Babe for, 7-8 years now. I'm not sure quite how long. What is the biggest difference you've seen since the sport has started to where you started in the sport to where we're at right now?
My biggest thing that I see really working in the sport is more the global market. For the sport itself, with the European road racers kind of putting on 450 singles type TT short track races, with the Troy Bayliss and then Marquez Super Prestigio, it looks like the flat track sport's on a good stepping stone. There's a lot of manufacturers producing newer engines for the sport, or they're compatible for the sport and giving contingency with it. I think the sport's on a good climb, and hopefully it can get to a global market and we can go race overseas.
I definitely agree. The global market's definitely helping the Super Prestigio and the Troy Bayliss Classic. All that's definitely helping our sport. What do you think the chances are of a Yamaha winning a Grand National this year and maybe one of your Yamahas? What do you think? Do you think that's going to happen?
I really foresee Yamaha being on the podium in a short time. I understand the big thing is getting a person in the saddle, but even with Corey can get it and they're done. I know he's got the talent and the skills to do it with the right equipment underneath him. And I don't foresee, hopefully at Springfield we can be within at least the top 10. I don't foresee a reason why we shouldn't. Podiums by the end of the year, I would see a podium.
Hell yeah, we're going to be on the podium. No, yeah, hopefully, yeah, that's the plan. Like I've said when we started the show up here, I feel like I've never been on a bike that was more capable than what I'm on right now. So definitely looking forward to it. Hopefully it turns out to be a great season. Clayton, usually we bring the riders on. We let them thank some people, their sponsors and all that stuff. Is there anyone you want to thank who kind of helped you out, get you to this far in your career as a mechanic? Because without a doubt, everyone knows your prestige in the pit, the AMA Pro Flat Track pits. They know the quality wrench you are and how far you've come along and where you're at right now. So is there anybody you want to thank?
Well, most of all, I've got to thank Babe DeMay for giving me the opportunity and see the potential and letting me unleash on having fun in the flat track industry. Tim and Debbie Kozires for giving me the opportunity to get in the door there and meet Babe too. Alan for at Memphis Shades for helping sponsor us and giving us a place to work out of. And, Of course, all our other fine sponsors, Wiseco, Canyon, Motion Pro, Kometic, you know, everybody that's making it happen for us to put this venture together.
Well, Clayton, once again, thanks for coming on. We wish you great success in 2015 on that new Yamaha FC07, and best of luck to you the rest of the year.
All right. Thank you, guys.
That was Clayton Shambaugh, Memphis Shades Yamaha, the Babe DeMay team, taking time out of his schedule to be with us here on Tuesday Night Flat Track Weekly Radio Show. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll talk to the 10-time Grand National winner, Ronnie Jones. We'll be right back. Evans Wireless Engine Coolant. Over the last 20 years, Evans Wireless Coolants have been tested and proven by OEMs, racing teams, and automotive aficionados to increase reliability and reduce operating costs. The operating temperature of an engine is very close to the boiling point of water. Hot spots within the cooling system can lead to localized boiling, generating steam which increases system pressure and prevents effective cooling. Evans Wireless Coolants have a boiling point of over 375 degrees, far above the operating temperature of the engine. The high boiling point ensures that the coolant remains liquid at all times, enabling consistently effective cooling. Eliminating water eliminates the problem of boil over after boil over. Try some today in your race bike. For more information, log on to evanscooling.com or call 888-990-2665.
We got a little bit of time here, Scotty, before we bring on Ronnie Jones, and I wanted to I'm kind of ashamed I didn't really get to mention this in the opening segment, but I want to kind of just give out our condolences to the family of Dane Westby. He passed away yesterday in a motorcycle accident on the street. You know, it's a tragic loss. I kind of saw the news when I woke up this morning, and I thought I was still dreaming. I kind of had to wake up twice seeing something like that. I'm not going to sit here and claim to be, you know, really good friends with Dane, but, you know, I have met him before, and I've never heard anything bad about the guy, and got to watch him race, an amazing talent on a motorcycle, just it's hard to describe his style, but he had a very unique style. It was, as a rider and a fan, I truly enjoyed watching him ride, and he was a game changer, and he's going to be missed out there this season. It's a shame the Moto America Series could have really used a rider with the personality of Dane to kind of move forward with American road racing. So he's going to be very, very missed. You know, I saw a ton of posts out there today from all the different riders, his competitors, his peers, his fans, sponsors. It just shows what a loved guy he was. And, you know, it's to lose a family member, you know, another racer is definitely tough. Our sport, you know, when a tragedy like this happens, it shows how close our sport is. You know, everyone kind of comes together, and, you know, it's been a tough day for sure, Scotty.
Yeah, it was the first thing I saw this morning. I usually get up and check Instagram and Twitter, and that's the first thing that I saw, and I just couldn't believe it. And I texted you right away because I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know if it was a racing incident that I didn't hear about. And he actually, it was a street bike accident up in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and he was actually on his way to his parents' house. So it was a bad deal, and we never want to lose it. I think, you know, I feel like road racing is kind of like our brother or our sister, you know, because, you know, road racing, you know, dirt track builds a lot of road racers, and they come back and forth. And so it's definitely sad to lose one of, you know, kind of like one of our own, so to speak. But one thing before we get too far off of Clayton Shambaugh and the Babe DeMay team, I don't know if a lot of people out there know it, but Babe DeMay actually used to race, and my grandfather used to race against him, and he actually won a national in Lincoln, Illinois on a half mile on a Harley-Davidson. So it's pretty cool to, you know, look back through the history. The AMA Pro put out a media guide there at Daytona, and of course I use it, you know, all the time religiously. I read it all the time and keep up with stats and what's going on, so I just try to take care of the history of our sport and keep it, you know, keep everybody in contact with what happened in the past. So it's pretty cool to have in your back pocket. So if you go to a national, check that out. They're usually in the pit area floating around a little bit. So, it's cool that Babe actually won a race, and now maybe somebody else can win on that Babe DeMay team Yamaha, Corey.
Yeah, no doubt. Babe's quite the character, Scott. He's like 80 years old, but he gets around like he's 40 years old. He pops up on top of the truck, unloads the bikes. You know, he's very, very active in in the sport still. You know, he's man, like I said, 80 years old. You wouldn't be able to tell it. I feel like some days he wants to get out there and suit up and still race. You know, he's quite the character, and he's very, very full of knowledge and a great guy to be around. I've learned a lot being around him in the short time that I've been around them so far. I actually rode their bike, Scotty, in 2008. I did a couple one-off races with them down in the Carolinas. I rode for them at Dayton, Ohio, and stuff like that. So I've got to ride with them and meet with them a little bit since in the past, and it's good to be linked back up with them this season. But our next guest is on the line. We won't wait any longer. A lot of stuff to talk about, and it's Ronnie Jones, former racer and current senior director of AMA Pro Flashback. Ronnie, what's going on?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good, man. Just excited to get you on the show. You know, we tried to get you on here before Daytona, and with the new job and everything, you were swamped and couldn't get on the show. So now that Daytona's in the past, we have a little bit of a break for the next national here in Springfield in about a month and a half. So let's get right into it, man. How's it been, the transition from a racer to a director?
Well, it's been interesting. You know, there's a lot to learn. I've got a lot to learn. There's bunch of great things happening in the sport, you know, which is really exciting for me and exciting to, I get to see it from the inside and, you know, and try to, with as much as I can, pass it along, the things that I know and see and that I know is coming, pass that along to everybody and hopefully get them as excited as I am.
Well, Ronnie, I've got to tell you, they call me Hollywood because I'm usually the nicest dressed one there, but you came out to the National and you had some bright shoes on. You're looking all slim and fit, and I think we're going to have to pass that name along to you.
Nah, Short Round, they can call you Hollywood. I still call you Short Round. But anyway, the shoe thing was I had planned to wear some dress shoes, and I wore them on Thursday night to the first race at Daytona, and my feet were hurting so bad after that, well, for the second day, that I had to wear some tennis shoes, and just so happened those are the only other shoes that I brought with me to Daytona. So that's how I wound up wearing those that night, was just so that my feet would survive the night.
Well, I think they could see them from outer space. They were so bright. But let's get back into it. There's two races announced down there while we're down there. We had a nice meeting the night before the National, which was pretty cool. I heard you're very instrumental in that. We're going back to Delaware. We haven't been there since 2002, but this time it's going to be up there where there's a motorcycle rally called Roar to the Shore, and that's pretty cool. And also the Don Tilley Memorial is going to be at Charlotte, and the last time we were at the Charlotte Motor Speedway is in 2002. So both those events are great to have back on our schedule.
Well, they are. They came together late. You know, we'd like to have had them on the schedule a lot sooner so everybody could have planned and known, you know, that we were going to have those races. But we didn't want to announce them until all the I's were dotted and the T's were crossed. But, yeah, the Roar to the Shore is a big rally up in the northeastern part of the U.S., and it's at the end of the summer, and so there ought to be a lot of people there. And so we're really excited about that, to have that event come aboard as part of the series. And then the Don Tilley Memorial in Charlotte is a race track that we've been to before and haven't been there though for quite a few years, kind of like the Maryland race, and hadn't been up in that area for a while. But yeah, it's you know, Don Tilley was almost everybody in the paddock, if not everybody. Some of the younger kids may not have known Don, but he had been such a contributor to all forms of racing, and everybody loved him. You know, great dealer in Statesville and Salisbury, North Carolina, and his family's still there and runs the shops. And so we're really excited about being able to have a Don Tilley Memorial. And also the racetrack there is one that we're really excited about getting back to. It is there next to the Charlotte Motor Speedway and sits between the Charlotte Motor Speedway and the NHRA drag strip. So it's right there around all the NASCAR teams, and it just so turns out that particular weekend there are not – it's an off weekend for the Nextel Cup Series, or Sprint Cup Series, I guess it is now. So, the you know, with that being the case, all the teams that are usually at the races 36 weeks a year and don't get to see anything but a NASCAR race, the opportunity to come out – I know most of those guys, I know a bunch of them personally, but – most of them have motorcycles and love motorcycle racing, and so I bet we have a pretty pretty big turnout from the NASCAR crew, plus all of our fans that'll be there.
Yeah, I'm very excited about it. I think, I'm an East Coast guy, so two more East Coast races is okay in my book. And as you mentioned before, Don Tilly, he was a hell of a guy. He was really good friends with my dad and grandfather, and I got to spend a lot of time with him when I was a kid. So what I saw was, we're going to run the race. And Memorial for him, I was really excited about that. And Delaware, Del Mar, Delaware is, two and a half hours from my house. It's down in the southern part of Delaware, right above Salisbury, and I'm really excited for that event too. So major kudos to you guys for getting those two events out there. You mentioned you would have liked to have had them on the schedule sooner, but it's always good, I think, to make sure everything is, like you mentioned, the I's are dotted and T's are crossed before you put something out there and it's not finalized yet. So real excited about those two races. I wanted to talk to you guys a little bit about Daytona. Now, Daytona, the first day, it was a good track. I thought the track was really good. There wasn't a hole jumping contest. It was prepped really well, but it was really hard to pass on it. I think most of that, for me as a rider, feels like the shape of it. It's a big circle. It's not as diamond or paper-clipped as the old track was. So for the second night, you guys, you and Steve Moorhead and everyone else involved, you made a berm on the inside of the track that kind of changed the configuration a little bit. Talk a little bit about what went into that decision and how you feel the whole Daytona track maintenance went, how that came about when you guys were down there.
Well, you've been down there, Corey, a lot of times, and like me and Scott, and most of the time we go down there, it seems like for whatever reason it's like the coolest weekend that they've had in months. Every time we're down there, it's kind of cold and damp. And this year, we had really warm weather and it was dry. And I think we just got a little bit on the first time. We got a little bit caught out. The track was, there just wasn't any moisture in it. And it got really grooved up really quickly. And you're right. The shape of the racetrack, I think, takes away the ability to race on it because it is so round, and so you more or less road race around it, and it's I wouldn't say the track is still that surface is always a little bit slippery, but it was a little bit easier to keep it on the bottom, and which makes it pretty impossible to pass if you don't make a mistake. And so we had a good race and got to take your hat off to Stevie Bonzi. He just rode 25 perfect laps. I mean, if he messed up, Jared Mees was right there and Kenny Coolbeth was breathing down his neck. And so a lot to be said for those guys, putting in 25 perfect laps, not making a mistake. But we just thought we would, try to increase the possibility of somebody being able to pass. We didn't want to make it unfair, but Steve and I put our heads together and we realized right from the start, the first night, we need a little more water on it. And so that was one thing that we wanted to try. But also, we thought if we made the corners a little more pointed, made the track a little more shaped like a football, there would be some a little more deceleration and a little more acceleration zones. And that might, give people a chance to get hooked up or set a guy up. You could high-low somebody or, set them up and maybe make a pass. And for the most part, I thought we accomplished that. I thought it did what we wanted it to do. I was, I was disappointed in my buddy Aaron Limpers. We probably went one lap too many with the water truck during one intermission there, and we sent the guys out, and the track was greasy, and Aaron went down and broke his collarbone. And I hope Dookie Erickson's okay too. I understand he went down, and I didn't even know that he had gone to the hospital, but. I've talked to Aaron a couple times, and he seems to be doing okay, but, that was unfortunate. But we thought the racing was a lot better on Friday night, and for most of the response that we've gotten, most of the viewers on Fans Choice felt the same way.
Yeah, I certainly did, too. It made it a lot more racy the second night, which I think it's good to change it up from the first night to the second night. I know we've done that before in the past, dig it up real deep one night and leave it kind of harder packed the second night, but I had a question come in from one of our fans, and they wanted to know, is AMA Pro going to work with any of these young GNC2 riders to maybe align them with team owners to successfully move up to the Twins programs? Do you have any comments, or can you give this listener any feedback on that?
Sure. Yeah, we don't – AMA Pro doesn't really have a program for that. The of course, like always, the best thing that a young rider can do is go out and win. By having the GNC2 class running at each race with the GNC1 class at a national, that wasn't available to us when I was racing. We didn't get to do that. We didn't really get to go out and meet the top teams and all that until we actually became an expert. At that time, it was called an expert. So that's another thing that we do to allow the guys to get to ride the tracks, to get to be in front of the teams. And then, the other thing that I would say is young riders need to not be bashful and go introduce themselves to the teams and just tell them who they are and get to know the team owners and the people in the GNC1 paddock that field teams. And that way, if they get to know the younger riders, they'll start watching them. Of course, they see them on the track anyway. And like I said, winning's always a key. But how you carry yourself and present yourself and, how you dress and all those things are important too. So I would just suggest that they take advantage of the opportunity of being there at the track with those teams.
Yeah, like you mentioned, Ronnie, even when I was younger and I first started to come up in the pro ranks, we didn't have a GNC2 class or a pro singles class. We had a hot shoe series. I think it was a 6-8 race series, but we didn't even have the availability to race on all the tracks that the GNC1, Expert Twins guys race on now. So when I first raced on a lot of these tracks, the first time I ever raced on them was on an XR750 Twin. I think it's great. These riders, I think a little bit, some of them take it for granted that there is a class for them at all these rounds, whether it's on a single or a twin. And the way things are nowadays with the 450s, how expensive they are and how much motor work and wheels and everything you put into a single, it almost costs as much to build a twin. So I think it's great that you guys have six twins rounds for these GNC2 guys. I know it's not a popular opinion among some, but I think it's great for developing these riders and making them ready for the GNC1 class. So I just wanted to throw that out there a little bit too. Like I said, I didn't even have the option to race these events when I was younger. I had to do kind of the hot shoe series and then select pro-am events. But I had a question for you also. I know your job isn't an easy one. There's a lot of people who kind of come at you with things that aren't so positive and some angry customers, so to speak. How do you deal with all the negatives that come along with the job and still try and remain positive?
Well, I guess, Corey, the fact that I've been there, I can really relate. It doesn't really upset me when guys are upset because I've been there. I was upset. And I hope most of the guys, the teams and the people out there that are involved in the sport understand that they know somebody's there that's been in their shoes. And so I don't, it's real easy to keep positive because of all the positive things that are going on and the commitment that I see there at AMA Pro Racing in Daytona and all the people and how committed they are. So that part's really pretty easy. I pain and feel for everybody out there, whether it's a racer, a promoter, the sponsors, everybody that loves the sport just wants to see it get better. And so, as much as I may get a little bit, I'm on my phone a lot, I'll say that. But everybody wants what we all want, and that's to make the sport better. And so, I wouldn't say I welcome the complaints or the upset customers or whatever, but, I understand that's part of the job, and I knew that would be part of the job. For me, the way to fix that was to make the sport better or at least be part of making the sport better along with a bunch of other people. But that's the main thing. I just have to stay focused on that and make sure that we're pushing the sport forward. And those complaints, they won't go away immediately or altogether, but they'll get less and less as they see positive things happen in the sport. And that's where we're heading.
There is a lot of positive going on. We had a lot of announcements down there in Florida. And I know, like you said, you want to do a lot of the announcements before we got down there. But, during the pre-show, Harley-Davidson said they were now the title sponsor and you know, presented by Vance and Hines, and then also throw in the second day in the pre-show, we announced that the City National Bank had an $80,000, pretty much like a travel fund, you know, with, you know, $5,000 per round going to, you know, 10 riders, you know, $500 for 10 riders. So there are a lot of positives, and you know, I like Corey just said, he wished he had a chance to ride at these national tracks. Well, I wish, you know, there's somebody throwing extra money at me just for being the longest rider from, you know, away from that national. So there's a lot of cool things happening, Ronnie.
Well, you know, there are, and I think, you know, it's like a snowball. You know, pushing the snowball up over the hill and getting it to roll downhill, it'll really grow in size. And I think we're right at that kind of a tipping point where dirt track's kind of been rumbling along here, not changing much, but just kind of holding its own. There's been a lot of factors involved. The economy's not helped, just a bunch of things. But we're kind of at a point where, you know, we're drawing interest. I mean, Yamaha's been amazing. And I think they clearly see the commitment and see the investment that's going on, and they're stepping up. You know, their contingency program is a bunch better this year. I think they're working on trying to help guys with engines, you know, make engines available at a really fair cost, what I would say, for a race engine. Harley's stepped up. You know, Vance and Hines has come aboard, Sunoco and Dunlop, all those our partners there. You know, and there's a bunch of other good things that I wish I could comment on that are in the works that, you know, will be announced as those I's get dotted and T's get crossed. And what that shows to the sponsors and the outside world and the OEMs and potential sponsors is that this thing is starting to move. And the more we move, the more people will start noticing, and the easier it'll be to make that snowball grow. And I think we're at that point where we're all going to get to see a bunch of exciting things happen for dirt track and things that we've all been wanting to see for quite a while, but just hasn't happened, whatever the reason. But you know, I'm, like I said, just sitting and where I'm at and being behind the scenes and seeing the things that are going on, you know, I can't help but be excited.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think over the past 5-6 years there, when dirt track was kind of on, I wouldn't say a downfall, but kind of quietly chugging along, like you mentioned, a lot, you know, the diehard racers, the diehard tuners, and the fans definitely kept it rolling. But now it seems to kind of caught some spark. You know, the overseas market for flat track is really, really picking up steam, with riders like Valentino Rossi posting pictures of him flat track, and Mark Marquez racing his Super Prestigio event. We talked a little bit with Clayton Shambaugh, the mechanic of the Baby May team, a little bit ago, and he mentioned the biggest change he's seen in the past decade is the increase in global marketing and how much it's picking up overseas. Has that helped a little bit with the way the sport is kind of growing? And is there any kind of plans for any of that to come over here to the States, bringing those riders over here?
Well, I know that there's a right now a program being worked on to bring Troy Bayliss over, and that's not really something that was put together to try to get him over here. It's something Troy wants to do, which is amazing. You know, he's a world champion road racer and also a very accomplished dirt tracker, as most of us have seen with his races that he puts on in Australia. And so he wants to come over and ride our series, and so that's really exciting. But, you know, I think, you know, you mentioned kind of about the, you know, the world sort of getting smaller, and it definitely, you know, we're kind of in a global climate here. And I think part of the excitement and the interest we're getting in dirt track is the realization that, you know, Wayne Rainey's working on the road race series here in the States. And Wayne explained to me that part of the reason for doing it was he was approached by the people, the Dorna, the people in the P races about, you know, grooming future world champions that were from America. And so that is what his series is designed to do. And during a conversation with Wayne, it didn't take a lot of coaxing to get it out of him, because Wayne was a former dirt tracker himself and then went on to be a 3-time world champion. And so was Kenny Roberts and Kevin Schwantz and Freddie Spencer and Eddie Lawson and Nicky Hayden all came from dirt track. So I think what's happened is the world is sort of recognizing that we're all sort
sort of interconnected. And for Wayne to be successful, the dirt track series need to be successful. You know, if we're going to create future world champions in road racing, we need to have a large pool in dirt track for them to pool from. And, those skills gained as little kids riding amateur nationals on a flat track bike transfer directly, you know, really transition smoothly into road racing, as we've seen. And so I think other people are recognizing that. And Marquez, of course, and Rossi, all those guys have just shed a brighter light on it.
I certainly agree, Ronnie. We're just barely scratching the surface, but it's already time to go. We appreciate your time, and we wish you well in your new adventure and being the senior director of Flat Track, and I know we'll see it every round. And we just wish you well and good luck.
Hey, thanks. I was glad to be on with you too tonight.
And Corey likes to ask the riders if they want to thank any of their sponsors before they let you go. I know you rode for a lot of people, but anybody you want to say thanks to, or you want to say hi to anybody that's listening?
Nah, just, you guys, thanks for having me on tonight, you know, and keep up the good work and keep spreading the word about dirt track. You know, it's time to get this thing moving, and everybody talking about it and keeping people excited about it is what we need.
Thanks again, Ronnie. I'll see you in Springfield. We appreciate it.
Sounds good, Corey. Take care, bud. See you, Scotty.
That was Ronnie Jones, the new senior director of AMA Pro Flat Track, 10-time Grand National winner, and one of my heroes of all time. So we're going to take our last break, and we come back with some closing thoughts.
Light Shoe, the number one maker of steel shoes for dirt track racers. Light Shoes come with a one-year guarantee on light shoe material and craftsmanship. Light Shoes are worn by the pros like Mark Marquez, Sammy Halbert, Wyatt McGuire, Jeffrey Carver, and former Grand National champion Brad the Bullet Baker. Light Shoes can be purchased separately or as a boot and steel shoe combination. Light Shoe also carries hot shoe straps, t-shirts, and hoodies. For more information, check out lightshoe.com. Light Shoe, for the racer's heart and soul.
Speaking of the global market, Scotty, with Flat Track, we always talk about Marquez and Bayless and all that, but I just saw a tweet from Chad Reed this week. He mentioned Flat Track and something he was speaking about regarding the Trakenard Jake Weimer crash at Detroit Supercross, and AMA Pro Flat Track tweeted to Chad about regarding something, and Chad tweeted back, said he's working on getting a Flat Track bike, working on building a track, and he's caught the Flat Track bug. So I thought that was pretty cool. I shot him a tweet and told him anytime he wants to spin some laps and go sideways to hit me up. So I thought that was pretty awesome, man. It's like Rossi, Reed, Marquez. I mean, it's the who's who of who races motorcycles, and they're all interested in flat track racing. It's kind of funny. PJ Jacobson's over there overseas racing the World Superbike stuff, and he's like, man, he's like, it's kind of crazy. He's like, everyone's slowly starting to catch on the flat track, and I've been doing it my whole life, so I don't know. I just think it's great, and it's definitely good for the sport.
Yeah, it's definitely good. I would love to see Chad Reed, come out and try it, and also build a racetrack too. I think that's, showing 100% dedication to it. You know, Valentino Rossi, he's got flat tracks at his track where he practices all the time, so it's definitely good for the sport. I know Travis Pastrana tried it quite a few years ago, and then he went on and tried NASCAR and a few other things. He's just out having fun, but if these guys get serious about it, I think he could come on and he'd be hard to beat on a 450. I mean, I know it's saying a whole lot, but you never know. I mean, there's a
that's
lot of throttle control.
That's saying a whole lot, Scotty.
I was just reaching. I was trying to get him to come on and try it. You know, I was trying to give him some
yeah.
positive reinforcement.
Yeah,
I know it's.
that's a far cry. I mean, I think he's a really good motorcycle racer. It would take time. It's not easy to do what we do. Pastrana learned that quick. I think Travis qualified maybe 70th out of 80 riders at that Daytona Municipal Stadium. I think it was 2006. So out of all the stuff that Travis has done in his life, whether it's the X Games, motocross, car, NASCAR, everything he's done, I don't think he struggled quite like he did with dirt track. And I don't know why, Scott. It's just a big circle, right? It can't be that hard.
Yeah. What's hard about it, Corey, is it looks – so easy until you get out there and actually give it a shot. It just looks totally easy. Like you said, you're going around in circles. But I actually had don't want to forget this, but coming up on May 22nd, there's the golf outing for the AMA rookie class of 1979, which Ronnie Jones is a part of. He's going to be part of this golf tournament on May 22nd. Chris Carr is scheduled to be there. Bubba Schobert's also going to be there. A handful of other riders will be there, and you can actually go and hang out with these riders. Sign-ups are open right now. Hit them up on Facebook, AMA Rookie Class of 79. They're looking for some more golfers to raise money to help any rider that gets hurt racing in our sport of flat track.
Yeah, the weather is slowly starting to break here in Pennsylvania, which is good. You know, it kind of sucks going out and training in 35, 40-degree weather. I do it, but I do it alone. Shane and Breyer are more fair-weather riders, so when the weather starts to break, I have some more training partners to ride with. So that's good. I'm excited for the warmer weather and the races to start up here. I just got news that me and Breyer's favorite donut shop here in town, we kind of cheat a little bit maybe once a week and go to the local donut shop. It's shutting down in a couple weeks, so we're pretty bummed about that. And the closest, it's a chain restaurant, it's called Fractured Prune, and the next closest Fractured Prune is in Ocean City, Maryland, 3 hours away. So that kind of put that's why I was frowning a little bit, Scotty, when you called me in on Skype to start the show.
I was wondering what was wrong. I thought somebody stepped on pig or something. I didn't know what was happening over there. I mean, you look like you're about to cry.
Well, there wasn't a murder committed tonight, so no one stepped on pig. That would not be good. I'd be an unhappy camper. But yeah, great show tonight. It was good talking with Ronnie and Clayton. Ronnie, man, we could have talked with him for another half hour. There's so much to talk about with what's going on in the sport, and we'll definitely have to get him on here again. Hopefully after Springfield, maybe we'll make it a regular once a month deal here to bring Ronnie in to answer any questions that's going on and talk with him a little bit. I think it's good to have him on, and it's cool that he's so willing to come on and talk with fans. So Dan Johnson, he was the same way. Great guy. He's come on our show before and talked, and I think it's good, and, you know, for the fans to get the word straight from the guy's mouth who's helping run all this stuff. So it's been good. I'm excited for next week's show. Hopefully we'll have some more to talk about. We'll arrange some guests. And that's all I got, Scotty. I don't have too much else to talk about. As always, hit us up on social media. We'd love to hear from our fans. And just we appreciate you guys listening in. It definitely keeps us going.
Yeah, a great show, great guest. You did a good job lining those folks up. And also want to thank Sammy Halbert. He actually commented on our Instagram photo, and he said that was back in 2007. So appreciate, like you said, all of our followers on Instagram. Hit us up on Twitter if you want to hear a guest or have a guest on here or have a question for either one of us, hit us up at Corey Texter, at Scotty Dubler. So I'm signing off. Appreciate you all listening on Tuesday night. We will see you next week on the Flat Track Weekly Radio Show.